hope you're doing well this morning. You know, as we had began this series back in the early part of June, I said, you know, one of the benefits we're going to have during this time is throughout the summer, there's going to be various opportunities for people to come and hear from other members of our staff. And over the next few weeks, that's actually what you're going to be privileged to do. And this morning, we have a real blessing. And the reality is about a year and a half ago now, Brett Hardy joined us as our minister or our minister of sports or our sports ministry director. And really, you know, he had a big challenge in front of him. And that was just, we've had our sports ministry program now for several years, and it's had some really good opportunities. And of course, as we had a couple of key families say, hey, you know, we've got to move on and do some different things. And so Brett came in and stepped in, and he's been doing just a phenomenal job with that. But really the blessing of us is just having Brett on staff, because when you're in a conversation with Brett, you can see really interestingly that he is intrigued by what we do. He's very, very driven by what it is that he wants to see the Lord accomplish here. Brett is an incredible servant's heart. He is an incredible, anytime I call him, he is open and ready to come and help in whatever it takes. Madeline and Leyland, his daughter, they are, Madeline, his wife, and Leyland, his daughter, phenomenal opportunity for us to get to know another, just a great family. And it's my encouragement this morning to be able to bring Brett here and let you listen to him, listen to his heart as he carries us on through this section in James. So this morning, if you would you welcome Brett Hardy?
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, church. Wasn't expecting to be introduced. That's cool. I never had that happen before. For those of you that don't know me, as Mike said, my name is Brett Hardy. I do the sports ministry here. I oversee our community center across the parking lot. And so if you've never been across the parking lot and come and check out our community center and our gymnasium and our fitness center and all sorts of different things that we have going on over there, aerobics classes, tons of different sports, I invite you to come by sometime, say hello, take a tour. We've got some great facilities over there. Always have great opportunities going on. If you're not into that kind of thing, that's okay. My office is over there. Come by and take a visit. I love it when people come by and visit. Come by and visit me. So come over sometime and say hello to us. It's a privilege to be here this morning. Several weeks ago, Mike asked if I wouldn't mind speaking this week, and I told him that I absolutely would love to. I'm grateful that you're here this morning, and I hope that in our time together that we're encouraged, that we're challenged. The Lord speaks to us and moves, and I hope that as individuals you hear the Lord this morning, and that as together as a group that we would feel the Lord move in our lives. Let me pray for us, and then we'll open God's Word together. Father, I come before you this morning and say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this church. Thank you for this church and what it means to me and my family. Thank you for each family that is represented here this morning. I just pray that as we open your word, as we spend time together digesting it and just answering some questions, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. Just thank you for your word and what it teaches us, what it has to say. We're so blessed, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So next Sunday is my daughter Leyland's second birthday. And so for those of you who are parents or spend time around little kids, you know, you can relate to the fact that the last 2 years for my wife and I have just absolutely flown by. I mean, they've just been like a hurricane, just been crazy. It seems like yesterday that it was a day or two before she was going to be born, and I was in our master bedroom at our house, and I had her car seat out, and I was literally tearing this thing apart, trying to figure out how you get the straps loose enough so that when you take it to the hospital, you can actually get the kid in the car seat and tighten it back up and good to go. Just seems like that was happening yesterday, and I want to encourage you, those of you that are going to be first-time parents or spend time around kids, I just want you to know this. If you find yourself in circumstances like that, there is a YouTube video out there somewhere that will give you instructions on what to do and how to handle those types of things. Somebody has been there before you, and there is a YouTube video to prove it, I promise. But she's about to turn 2 next week, and so life is a fun and an interesting season for my wife and I right now. And Leyland and I, we go to our community pool where we live pretty often. We like to go down there and hang out and make trips down there pretty frequently. And because she is almost 2, she is pretty adamant that she be allowed to walk by herself on the way to the pool. Doesn't need daddy to hold her anymore. She wants to walk by herself as a 2-year-old, I know. So this challenge of teaching a two-year-old that when we walk to the pool each day, we really just want to stay on the sidewalk. We don't need to keep veering off into the grass and in the mud all over the place. We just want to stay on the sidewalk. That's kind of the reality that Leyland and I find ourselves in as we make these visits to the pool. And so I've been trying to explain to her that there are a multitude of reasons why it's important that we just stay on the sidewalk. Let's just stay on the sidewalk. So if you were around or walking by us or somewhere near us, a conversation that you might hear her and I have as we make these trips to the pool might go something like this. Hey, Leyland, why is it important that we just stay on the sidewalk? Because the doggies go potty in the grass, Daddy. Good, excellent, okay, good. Hey, Leyland, why is it important that we stay on the sidewalk? Because the grass is muddy, Daddy. Good, okay, excellent, good, we're making progress. Hey, Leyland, why is it important that we just stay on the sidewalk on our way to the pool? Because the grass is all dirty and there's bugs, Daddy. Good. Excellent. Making progress. Hey, Leyland, why are you out in the middle of the grass? Silence from her. Silence. The truth is, as adults, we can all kind of relate to this, can't we? Sometimes we're the same way. We know the right answers. We know what's lurking out there in the grass. We've been told what happens when we wander off the sidewalk and out into the grass. But so often, out into the muddy, dirty, bug-infested grass is where we find ourselves. When Mike asked me if I'd be willing to speak this morning, I realized some time later, a week or so, that he hadn't told me what he wanted me to speak on, whether there was a particular passage or concept or idea, what it was he wanted me to speak on. And one afternoon, we met up at Starbucks, and I just said, hey, man, where are we going with this? What do you want me to talk about? And he told me that he was going to be going through the book of James this summer. And I was thrilled to learn that. James is a book that's challenged me and encouraged me often in my life. And so he said, hey, you know, I'm going to stop at a certain point. I'm going to have you pick up and run with a few passages, and I'll let you know where that's going to be. And so a few days go by, and I got an email from Mike and had the outline of the summer on there and where it was he was going to have me pick up, where he was going to be leaving off. And so I was anxious to figure out where that was going to be. So I grabbed my Bible. That email came through. I grabbed my Bible, and I pick it up, and I find out that James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, is where he's got me going. So if you want to go there this morning, that's where we're going to kind of camp out. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. So that email comes through. I grab my Bible. I'm anxious to learn what it is that Mike wants me to preach about. I open my Bible. I begin to read that afternoon. This is what I find. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. I open my Bible, and this is what I find that Mike wants me to teach on. Now, as Mike said, I've only been here about a year and a half. And so I began to think back on my last year and a half and just going, man, what did I do that Mike needed to make sure that he stopped at verse 18 and left verse 19 for me to preach on this morning? But I was pleased to learn that that wasn't where he wanted us to stop. Continuing on in verse 22, it says this. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and he immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. As I read this passage, I was reminded of a story of a husband and wife who many years ago, they went on a cruise together. And they found themselves in the first moments of the cruise out on the deck of the ship. For those of you who have taken a cruise, maybe you can relate to this. Having to endure the lecture about what to do in case of an emergency. What you as a passenger were supposed to do should an emergency occur. What their jobs were. And so over and over again in this emergency precautions lecture that they had to endure, they were told, in the case of an emergency, grab the nearest flotation device. Go to the nearest and quickest exit and make your way to the lifeboats. Grab the nearest flotation device. Go to the nearest and quickest exit and make your way to the lifeboats. Grab the nearest flotation device. Go to the nearest and quickest exit and make your way to the lifeboats. They were told this over and over and over that morning. So a day or two goes by, and they're having a great time on the cruise, having a lot of fun, hanging out. And one afternoon, they find themselves down in the middle of the boat, and the emergency alarm goes off. And immediately, the husband looks at his wife and says, "We must grab the nearest flotation device. Honey, where are the life jackets?" And she reaches around and she grabs some life jackets out of the cabin. And he says, "We must go to the nearest and quickest exit. Honey, which way do you think we should go?" And she points to the emergency evacuation sign on the hallway, and they make their way out to the deck of the cruise ship. They find themselves on the deck of the cruise ship with everybody else, chaos erupting around him. And the husband says, "Which ones are the lifeboats?" For those of you that have been on a cruise, you know. All of them out there are on the deck of the boat. Those are the lifeboats. Some of you can relate to this man. Some of you have been on the cruise and you've endured this before. Some of you can just relate because you know that your wife would know all the details and you would just kind of maybe remember the instructions that you were given. Not pay attention to where the life jackets were. Not pay attention to where the emergency exit signs say that you're supposed to exit the boat. Not realize that every single boat out on the deck of the cruise ship is a lifeboat that's there for you to get in and take you off the sinking ship. As I think about these scriptures in James this morning, there's some questions that come to my mind. And I want to share these questions with you in our time together. The first question is this, if you're taking notes, it's in there. Has the word of God moved from being something that I read to something that I live? Has the Word of God moved from being something that I read to something that I live, from something that I know, that I've been told, that I've read about, to something that I begin to live in my life? I think to some degree, and all of us, it's varying degrees, we would say that we read or have read or are read to the Scriptures. Maybe for you, you do a morning devotional, or maybe you regularly attend church or Sunday school where the Scriptures are read to you frequently. But the question that I want us to wrestle with this morning is this: Are these words, this book, are they anything more than words that we would say that we agree with? Words that we would hold true? Words that we say we believe in? Are they anything more than that? Or are they moving into how we live our lives? I want you to try and get a picture of what James is saying here in verse 23. He says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away, and he immediately forgets what he looks like." I want you to picture this if you can. There you are. You find yourself standing in front of your bathroom mirror. I know I've already lost some of you. You're like, I don't want to picture that. But you're standing in front of your bathroom mirror. You've had your morning coffee. You've had your nice long shower. You're kind of finishing up your morning routine, standing there in front of the mirror. Maybe you're finishing combing your hair. Maybe you're finishing step three of your three-step face wash. Maybe you got your curling iron out, and you're making sure that everything's just right. But there you stand, getting the final glimpses of yourself before you head out for the day, making sure that the image that you have, that you see in the mirror, is the image that you want to project to the world today. You get dressed, you grab your keys, and out the door you go, off to a busy, full day of work and activities and things that you've got to accomplish. Now imagine this. Later that day, you find yourself at Walmart, the Walmart parking lot, kind of done some grocery shopping. You're in the Walmart parking lot, getting ready to head out. Put the car in reverse, and you back into another car. But you don't realize that you've done this. You have no idea that you've backed into another car. You didn't hear anything. You didn't feel anything. You didn't see it. No one around you is freaking out. You have no idea it's done it. You put the car in drive, and off you go, not realizing that you've done this. Later that evening, you're at home hanging out. You hear a knock on the door. You answer the door to see a police officer standing there, and the police officer asks you if you realize that you have fled the scene of an accident. with a puzzled look on your face, you say, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, officer. And he pulls out this crystal clear video, maybe on his iPhone or something, and he shows you this video of somebody sitting in the front seat of your car, putting the car in reverse, and backing into another car, a 2017 Mercedes-Benz. You got a big old smile on your face in the video because you just got a great deal on hamburger meat at Walmart. And you put the car in drive, and off you go. It shows you this video. But imagine that you look at the officer just completely perplexed and confused, and you say, I have absolutely no idea who that is driving my car. I don't know who that is. Imagine for a moment that you don't recognize yourself. You have no idea what you look like. You don't recognize the person that's driving that car. You don't realize that it's you. Can you imagine not knowing what you look like? Can you not imagine not knowing that the picture, the video that the police officer is showing you is you? Most of us cannot. We simply can't imagine the reality that we might look in the mirror in the morning and by later that day completely forget what we look like, have no idea what we look like. And yet, the scriptures say that's exactly what happens for many of us when it comes to the Word of God in our lives. We've read it. Maybe you would say you've even memorized scriptures over the years. We've listened to sermons about it. Maybe you've even preached sermons about it. We've sang songs about it. But we just don't have any concept of what it means to let it bring a real transformation, an intimate and tangible transformation to our lives. That it begins to change the way that we think and change the way that we talk and change the way that we listen and change the way that we do our job and change the way that we parent and change the way that we behave as children and change the way that we treat one another. So maybe this morning you hear this and you, to some degree, you would say, okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But where does this transformation start? Where does this transformation begin? How does this happen? Back in verse 19 of the same passage, going back to James 1:19, he says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James says, you want to know where you can let the Word of God be transformative in your life? Do you want this real, life-changing, scripture-inspired transformation to start happening in your life? You know what? You want that? He says, how well do you listen? How well do you listen? When your kids are talking, are you quiet enough just kind of for them to get whatever it is they're saying out and so that you can kind of move on with whatever it was you were saying, whatever you were doing? Your kids constantly hear, shh, shh, I'm talking, not right now. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes our kids need to hear that. Sometimes our kids need to hear that. And they need to learn manners and how to behave and those kind of things. But sometimes our kids need to know that we're listening. Sometimes they need to know they're more important than the phone that we're holding up in front of our face. When you speak with your friends, are words always ready to jump off your tongue the moment that someone finishes speaking? You're always ready to jump in and add your two cents, or do you pause and just think for a moment how you might respond and respond in a way that adds value to the conversation? Or you just respond in a way that adds your two cents? James says you want this real, life-changing, scripture-inspired, incredible transformation to begin happening in your life. He says, do you get angry easily? Is the Word of God shaping the way that you deal with your anger? Now, I want to be the first this morning to say, life can come at us fast sometimes. Life can just come at us like crazy fast. It can catch us off guard. It can throw a wrench in our plans faster than we could ever be prepared for. But is that car that cut you off on the highway lead to you being somebody that nobody in your family wants to be around the rest of the day? when you and your spouse have a disagreement? Does your anger flare up so quickly that the rest of the evening is a complete disaster for everyone in your household? I know for me, oftentimes if I'm just gut level honest, the answers to these questions can be tough. Sometimes the answers to these questions are yes. James says when these things happen, it's just like that police officer showing up at our house and showing us a picture of ourselves that we don't even recognize. We have no idea who that person is because that isn't who we thought we were when we looked in the mirror that morning. That isn't who we wanted to be when we read our devotional or when we did our Sunday school lesson or when we read the scriptures together last Sunday. That attitude that we had with our children or our coworker or our spouse, that is not reflective of the songs that we sang together in worship. For many of us, we know the right answers. We've read them our whole lives. Some of us, we've even got them memorized. We've heard them in Sunday school. We've listened to more sermons than we could possibly imagine. And yet, when the Lord whispers, "Why are you out in the middle of the grass?" we're silent. And so I ask myself, and I ask you, where are the areas in my life that I wouldn't recognize if someone were to point them out? Where are the areas in my life that I wouldn't recognize if someone were to point them out? Maybe a better way to ask this morning would just simply be, what needs to change? In my life, what needs to change? Continuing in James chapter 1, down to verse 25, we read this. It says, "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." So James is helping us understand this dilemma, this notion that we can just completely forget what we look like. This idea that the policeman would show up and show us a picture of ourselves that we don't even recognize. He says, if you want to make sure that never happens, if you want to make sure that you don't forget what you look like, if you want to make sure that your life reflects what it is you want your life to reflect and not something that you absolutely do not want your life to reflect, if you want this life-changing, scripture-inspired, real, transformative change to happen in your life, he says, keep looking in the mirror. Keep looking in the mirror. Keep looking intently in the mirror time and time again. If you want to look the way you want to look, if you want to live the way you know you should live, if you want to talk the way you know you should talk, if you want to listen the way you know you should listen, when you return to this book day after day and time after time, when you seek the Lord day after day and time after time, when you make a habit of not just reading God's word and not just listening to the sermons and not just singing the songs, but intimately saying to the Lord, "God, as I read these words, as I sing these songs, will you please speak to me? Will you please, Lord, will you please transform me? Will you please show me the steps to take and the areas in my life that I need to allow you some space to work?" And it is then, as we do this time and time and time again, that we will find ourselves beginning to think different thoughts. Because we realize that Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It's then that we find ourselves talking differently because we begin to realize that Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Let your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each person." It's then that we begin to find ourselves being more intentional when someone else is talking because we're letting Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 transform us when it says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." It is then, as we do this time and time again, that we find ourselves being a better employee at our job or being a better boss in what we do because we approach our job completely different because we want to honor God with our lives. And we realize that Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do in your life, Do it as if you're working for the Lord and not for man. We could go on and on. You find yourself parenting different. You find yourself treating your parents differently. You find yourself treating the people around you differently if you look into the perfect law that gives freedom, and you go there time and time again. The third question that I want us to ask ourselves this morning is this: where am I on my transformational journey? Where am I on my transformational journey? And there's two things that I want you to understand when it comes to this concept of kind of this transformational journey. The first is this: we are, none of us are at the same place when it comes to our transformational journey. We are not all in the same place when it comes to letting the Word of God transform us in our lives. The second thing I want you to know, that's okay. That is 100% okay that we're not in the same place. But hear me when I say this morning. Maybe you're someone who has read the Word of God your entire life. But you might be willing to say, you know what, I haven't been allowing it to shape me and to mold me into something that I know that it needs me to be. Maybe you've read it your entire life and you've memorized it, but you haven't been truly living it. Maybe you're someone that would say, yes, I've been working hard to allow the Word of God to work in my life and to transform me. I know I'm not where I want to be, but I'm trying hard each day. Maybe you're someone who would just say, you know what? I'm pretty new to all this. I can't really say that it's had a whole lot of impact on my life yet, that the Word of God's had a whole lot of impact on. We're all in different places when it comes to letting the Word of God transform us, and that's okay. But I do want you to do this. Find time and just sort of take an assessment. Just sort of evaluate where you are on your transformational journey. Acknowledge where you might find yourself. The 12-step program that many people use for alcohol recovery and addiction recovery and things like that, they teach you that the first step in recovery, the first kind of part of recovery, is just saying, here's where I'm at. Acknowledging where you are. Figuring out where you are. Before you make any changes or make any decisions about what sort of changes you need to make, just simply saying, here is where I am. The first step in letting the Word of God become a transformative power in your life is identifying where you are on your transformational journey and just simply saying, God, please transform me from this point forward. Here's where I am. Please begin to transform me from this point forward. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1, it says this, it says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. The author here in Hebrews is simply saying, figure out where you're at. Take an assessment of where you are and then move forward. If you've accepted Christ into your life, if you've been forgiven and cleansed and made new in the sight of Christ, awesome. That is perfect. Amazing. Okay, now begin to move forward to maturity in Christ. Keep looking in the mirror. Keep looking in the Scripture. There is more for you to experience. There's more that God wants to do. If you found yourself stuck at a certain place, just acknowledge that you're there. Acknowledge that that's where you are. Take note of where you are. Figure out kind of how you got there. And then go to the mirror. Go to the Scriptures and keep going there time and time again and allow God to move you forward. Lastly, this morning, I want to challenge you to set some spiritual transformation goals. Set some spiritual transformation goals. Now, I want to be clear about this. This looks different for all of us. Some of you would be really quick to say, "Hey, I'm not much of a goal person. I don't do this whole thing of writing down goals and drawing out plans and that sort of thing. I kind of like to know where I'm going and where I'm headed, but not real into the whole goal thing. And that's okay. Others of you are like, you hear goals and you're like, where's my pen and my paper? Where's my day timer? Give me a dry erase marker so I can do a bubble graph and start figuring out how do I accomplish these goals. I know that each of us are kind of on the different areas of the spectrum there. But I want to encourage you to take a look at where you might be at in your transformational journey. Think about where God might be leading you. Is there a particular area that God might be challenging you to move towards? Is there a particular area that you struggle with? Maybe for you, it is anger. If you struggle with anger, maybe you could just simply say, could you just commit to saying to the Lord, Lord, over the next three months, would you make my anger something that is so plain and so evident in my life that it just brings me to tears because I so desperately want to let it go? Maybe for you it is your tongue. Maybe could you just commit to saying, Lord, help me recognize when it comes to my mouth the things that I'm saying. Help me recognize those things and make sure that they're honoring to you. Maybe for you it's listening. Could you just commit to saying, Lord, help me be a better listener. Show me where I fail to listen. Maybe for you it's something altogether different. For all of us, I'm sure it's something totally different. I just want to encourage you, take an assessment of where you are. Ask the Lord to help you recognize what that might be. I'm kind of a goal person. I like to set goals. I kind of like to know where I'm going and have a goal out in front of me. But I go about it maybe a little bit differently. When I was 17 is when I got into student ministry. And I started out as the intern to middle school boys at the church that I was working at. And so one Sunday as I was leaving the kind of student ministry area of our church, I grabbed my Bible, this Bible, as I was heading out the door. I left it, kind of always leave it in a certain area of the student ministry there while I was hanging out with kids and doing different things. So I grab it and I head out the door. A couple days later, I flip it open to find this stuck in the front of my Bible. This is what it says. It says, Brett, I saw your Bible and I thought I'd leave a message. Thanks for being a great role model for me over the past 3 years. I see you as a brother. God bless. And it's got the kid's name written there who wrote it. A student that I had hung out with on a pretty regular basis, a student that I had spent a lot of time praying with and just sort of trying to speak into his life, had seen my Bible at the back of the room and he'd taken time to write a note and stick it in the front of my Bible. That was in 2008. So this sticky note has been in my Bible. I have not touched it for 9 years. An ongoing goal for me is to be a role model in my speech, in my faith, in my actions. So as a reminder of what that goal is, I have not touched that sticky note. I just want to encourage you, set some spiritual transformation goals. In the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says this. He says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Your spiritual transformation goal doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be elaborate. Some of you have seen these at the store, mustard seeds. Not very big. Probably can't even see it from where you sit. Not very big. Your spiritual transformation goal doesn't have to be some major, elaborate thing that's all drawn out that you're working towards. Jesus says, if you've got faith as big as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can move mountains. Let's pray. Father, I come before you this morning. I say thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the teachings that it has for us. Thank you for the inspiration and the challenge and the encouragement. And Father, I just pray for us this morning as we spend time together looking into your word that you would just challenge us to figure out where we are as individuals. That you would speak into our hearts, speak into our minds, and show us where it is that we're at on our spiritual transformation journey. Father, make it so real and so evident and so plain to us that it just begins to become something that we cannot live without if we're not working towards transformation, that we want that scripture-inspired, life-changing transformation in our lives, Father. I pray that for each of us here this morning, God. Show us what that is. Help us set a goal and allow us to begin to move towards it. Show us the space in our life that we need to allow you to move and to work. Father, we love you. We trust you. We're so thankful. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.